Well, hello. My name is Crash, and welcome to Let's Make an NPC. This is possibly a new series. This is, shall we say, the pilot episode for it. The goal is for me to use this as a vehicle for kicking myself in the butt to get more game design done. Because as fun as it is for me, I frequently put it off until the last minute, and I don't want to keep doing that. So, this is also going to be done in a different way, because since there's going to be a lot of text involved, I am also releasing this as a video. That is, technically speaking, the primary format, although I'm going to try to have this in a way where I can export the audio specifically and put that out on the podcast feed for those who prefer to just have audio, which there's a lot of videos where I feel the same way, where I'm like, well, I could just be listening to this while I'm doing something else. I don't need to be viewing a thing while I'm doing this. But some of us like to be reading along, and we've got that too. Right now, I don't have a home for the videos beyond the Patreon, because Patreon can handle video hosting quite well. And my little shared hosting server would probably die if it gets the download numbers that the podcast episodes get. But I am looking into a PeerTube instance that I think could be home. I don't want to do a general instance. I don't want to do one that is a free speech instance, because usually that's a dog whistle for, hey, we're not going to moderate anything. And I don't want to be on an instance like that. But that is future plans for a future Crash. Right now, I need to plan some NPCs for the kind of stuff I've been doing. And today, for people looking at the video, you can already see, I am going to be writing out the NPC description for Dr. Igneous Plate, who has already been encountered if you've been following the Cogworld Season 1 episodes. So he does exist, but I didn't write down a whole lot of notes for him, so I don't have a full NPC write-up. And I kind of like to have that for future reference. I have failed to do this in the past in previous campaigns, and then I needed more information and I didn't have it, so I had to wing it. And can you wing things? Sure. Did I feel good about it? No. So I want to be able to pass me on the back and say, hey, this is the thing we did. So, Dr. Igneous Plate, and this is going to be for Cypher System, so I have a Cypher System template here, where if you look at an NPC write-up in any of the official books, specifically the Red Book, and I'm using the old Cypher System because a new one isn't technically out yet, these are the categories, and I'm motioning to the template here that you can see in the video, that exist in each write-up. So we have the name, we have their level, which includes a target number in parentheses, a short description, what's their usual motive, what's their health, what's their damage inflicted, do they have any armor, what's their movement, what modifications do we have, usually that's to various roles, where maybe they're really good at stealth, or really bad at stealth, or their attacks are at a higher difficulty rating than anything else, stuff like that. What are their combat strategies, so the GM doesn't have to think of those on the fly. What kind of interactions are they going to be having with the players or others? How can you use them in a campaign? And what possible loot might they have on them? So that is the template. And I am going to right-click on this. I'm doing all this in Obsidian. If you haven't realized it by now, I am heavily inspired by Mike Shea from over at Sly Flourish. He will live stream and then later release as a podcast his game prep, and he has started using Obsidian for most, if not all, of his game prep. I like Obsidian too. I don't remember if he started using it before me. It might have been around the same time, but I've been using it full time longer than he has, but I don't use it as well as he does, I think. I use it as well enough as it needs to be for me. But I'm going to make a copy of this template, and now I'm going to change the name. And I did load up the very small amount of notes that I have for Dr. Igneous Plate already. So I can copy-paste a few things, like, say, his name. So we're pasting that in there. Level, I'm going to leave that blank for now. We will come back to that. I'm going to fill out the rest of this and then think about what the level is. So we're going to put a pin in that. So I have a description here. Let's copy paste this in. And once I paste this in, I have pretty much everything I already had planned for him. And I've got to come up with the rest. So Dr. Igneous Plate is a slow-moving hippokin. Yes, he looks like the GIF or GIF, canonically in D&D now. Even that species isn't sure how to pronounce it. A slow-moving hippokin who nevertheless is quite skilled at addressing medical maladies and their potential remedies. Dr. Plate likes to see himself as a kind-hearted, as kind-hearted, and prefers to charge his patients only what he thinks they can afford. The odd thing is, he's very good at inferring what they can afford, even when steps are taken to hide that fact. Now, there's a reason for this. We're going to get to that. To an outside observer, his pricing structure is mercurial at best. And we are going to go through the rest of this motive to help those in need of medical care while making what profit he can. How about I type that correctly? There we go. Health is going to be determined based on his level and target number, although I'm probably going to bump that up. That's going to be one of the modified things because he's a hippokin, so he's going to have a lot of durability. Hippos have a lot of durability. Damage inflicted, that's going to be smaller probably. Armor, we're going to give him an armor of 1. Naturally tough skin is what I'm going to put for that. Obsidian, when you start something that usually is paired, for example, parentheses, quotation marks, it will put in the closing mark for you automatically, which sometimes really screws me up. But right here, that is useful. I do like obsidian a lot. I'm going to click on this thing here so that my menu on the side goes away so I have more screen real estate. There we go. Damage inflicted, I already talked about that. Movement is going to be short. I suppose he can probably get up to speed if he runs, but normally he walks slowly and carefully, especially if he is not on the first floor of a building, or the ground floor, or the basement level, because, again, hippokin. They are known for being, shall we say, stout. All right, modifications, we're going to fill that in a little bit. Combat, Dr. Plate, he's a doctor. Now, in this campaign setting, the Hippocratic Oath isn't a thing, but still, if you are someone who's going around trying to heal people and you want to be kind-hearted, you're tending to usually not be offensive in nature. So Dr. Plate will only fight if no other option presents itself. Preferring to, how about I spell correctly? Preferring to protect those in harm's way, comma, regardless of the side they're on. All right. Interaction, use, and loot. We're going to come back to interaction and use in a little bit. For loot, I'm thinking he might, as a doctor, have one or two ciphers that restore pools. That would make sense. So actually, we're going to say 1 to 3. 1 to 3 ciphers. 1 to 3 ciphers that can restore pools. There we go. Use. Dr. Plate. I can see him being a quest giver. Very easily he could be a quest giver because as a doctor, he's going to need various medical supplies and maybe he's out. Maybe there are rare ingredients that are out there somewhere or there's a delivery that is just waiting there at the train station, but he's kind of busy right now, so could you go and pick that up for him and bring it to him? Or maybe there was something he had, but some nefarious, no good person went and stole it from him, trying to get a resale value or something. And maybe they actually only stole it because they didn't think they could afford his prices. So now the PCs have this moral quandary of, do they help the person who is trying to help others, or they help the person who is trying to help themselves, but does actually legitimately need help, or maybe they're trying to help a sick relative. So these are all things that we could be doing. So we are going to say in here, excellent. Dr. Blake can make an excellent quest giver in need of medical supplies or who requires deliveries. Who requires deliveries to be made to far away patients. There we go. So that is a good use. But also we're going to say, let me put this on its own line. There we go. Dr. Plate may also pop up if a player is in need of urgent care. Okay. So that is two ways that we can use Dr. Plate in a scenario where he shows up. Now, moving up here, we've skipped a lot of things. I'm going to put these on their own lines here because the templates that where I copy the template from in the Cypher System rulebooks, a lot of these are not necessarily labeled, or they're labeled and they're expected to put the information on the same line. But visually, I like this better, so we're going to do that real quick. Modifications. None of this we can really mess with until we've put in the target number. So let's put in, let's say he's level 3, and that's going to make his target number be 9, because we multiply everything by 3. There we go. Health. We are going to say his health is actually more like, let's make his health be more like 15. With an armor of 1, that's going to make him still be kind of chunky if he needs to be defending himself. So that's going to be beneficial. But damage inflicted, we are going to say damage inflicted is lower. We are only going to say he does 1 point of damage. He doesn't want to hurt anyone. He is a doctor, not a warrior. And ignore that doctor over there that beamed in. But that's somebody else entirely. Don't worry about that. It's all fine here. So modifications. Well, we've already specified damage inflicted is 1. Sees through deception as if level 5, I'm going to say. Because of this secret that we're going to get to in a little bit. That does really help him out. Diagnoses medical concerns as if level 6. So I don't know how often that would come up in a Cypher System game, but that is very nearly hitting impossible numbers there, since that would be an 18 required without modifications. Right, so let's think about interaction. How are we going to do interactions for this guy? And it's kind of easy to confuse use and interaction. How Cypher is using these terms is, use is, how are you throwing them into your campaign? Interaction is, the players and this character are having a discussion. How does this NPC normally interact with the players? For example, if I look up the assassin in the Cypher System Red Book, its interaction is, some assassins have a sort of integrity about their work and can't be dissuaded from completing their contracts with bribes. So that is specifying, okay, when you're going up against this person, you can't just say, hey, I'll pay you double. That is going to affect the interaction. So for interaction here, again, going to put this on its own line. We are going to say, first of all, Dr. Plate approaches most, not any, with, how about I spell situations correctly? We are doing this in real time. Approaches most situations with a jovial demeanor. Again, spelling demeanor wrong. Autocomplete is a wonderful thing when it works properly for everything else, their spell checker. And did I spell hearted wrong? No, it's just hearted is not a word in the dictionary. All right, we're not going to worry about that. I'm looking up at a previous line there. Only getting serious when a life is on the line. And new line here, while willing to haggle, he will always seem to know what the player character can actually afford. There we go. All right, so let's see. I've got the name, level and target number, short description, motive, health, damage inflicted, armor, movement, modifications. What he does in combat, which is basically stand in the way. Interactions, uses, loot. I'm going to add one more thing that is not part of the official template. I'm going to add it down here. I'm going to call it secrets. I like adding secrets. This is actually something else that I'm stealing although am I stealing it if I give full credit? And he said that people are allowed to do this. This idea from Mike Shea, where you have secrets in your game prep, where it's stuff that can be revealed, doesn't have to be revealed, but you're keeping that in mind for that session. And can you change it later on? Absolutely, if it hasn't been revealed. And depending on how serious the game is, even if you have revealed it. But in this case, I'm going to give this NPC a secret because he does have a secret. How is he able to always know how much the players have? Well, he's haunted. So, Dr. Plate is accompanied nearly everywhere by Dr. Bertram, the ghost of a doctor who died in a plague long ago. Not long ago, long ago. There we go. Dr. Bertram cannot possess others as some ghosts do. I don't think I used the right spelling there. Possess. No. Two S's there, one S there. I'm going to look this up. Give me a second here. Okay, yeah, it's four S's. Two in the middle and two at the end for possess. Dr. Bertram cannot possess others as some ghosts do, but usually only Dr. Plate can see or hear him. Now, here's the thing. In Cypher System, a lot of characters are going to have supernatural abilities. Cypher System has a lot of that built in. Even if you're playing a more serious game, there'd be technological excuses that are sufficiently advanced to explain the near magical things that they can do. So, it's possible the player would be able to detect him. Well, how do they not see a ghost just floating around all the time? Here's how it works. Dr. Bertram spends most of his time, Dr. Bertram says most of his time while Dr. Plate is practicing medicine, hovering within Dr. Plate. Well, let's change this. I don't want to say Dr. Plate too many times. Hovering within the Hippokin's frame so as to not be detected by those with the rare ability to do so. And I misspelled Hippokin. There we go. Right. So that is essentially a write-up for Dr. Igneous Plate, a character who, to be fair, I have already introduced them in the campaign. Them, because it's actually two people for this, not just one, it's a twofer. But I wanted to try out this format to see if I like it. I might scrap it after this. I'm going to see how I feel about this. But I do like that if I do this right, it is low editing. So I don't want to give myself additional work. This is supposed to get me to do the work that I should already be doing, not giving me more work on top of that. And hey, if you like this format, then it's going to encourage me to do more of this. If you don't like it, well, I still have to do this work to make sure my games are all prepped for, but I won't be making more of these then, and that's okay. So, as I said, it's a pilot episode. Not every pilot turns into a full series. So, thank you for listening in, or watching, as the case may be. I will, when I upload this, also include a write-up for this NPC and the template, where I'll add that secrets thing at the end also. Should you so choose to copy-paste what I have, you're free to use this character. Let's say Creative Commons attribution. Let's just say that. And I should be able to press a button here to go to the outro. There we go. Thanks for listening or watching to Let's Make an NPC with your host, Crash. That's me. Music is Bubble Machine by Drozerix. That's a public domain song. You can get that from modarchive.org. And thank you so much to our patrons. We couldn't do this without you. So thank you to everyone who went to patreon.com/cogwheelgaming to help us keep the lights on, including Ellie, Liv Droman, Paul, Shanshan, Walter, and Patron Emeritus Cindy. If you want to get all this stuff, you can go to aaronbsmith.com.